Yeah, we're back. It's Brad Davis and Gary Byron, and we're joined by Bob Backlund. Oh my goodness, I remember Bob. I remember you wrestling in like the 70s and the early 80s. And you're a legend in wrestling.
Yeah, I had a great life at one point, that was the late 70s and early 80s. I ruled in the wrestling business.
You did.
I had the championship for 6 years, and it was 6 years that were wonderful. When I went to sleep at night, I couldn't wait to get up and go and get in the arena and feel that power that when all the people cheer for you. I doubled my strength in the ring because of the cheering and the support.
The adrenaline.
Gave. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're
adrenaline run.
It's exactly what it is. I mean, you're a celebrity. You're well known throughout the entire country. Look at you. You're in fantastic shape. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Look at you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll shake to that.
Yeah! Look at this guy. Oh, my goodness. Careful. I know it's radio. You can't see this, but holy smokes. He just grabbed me and he almost ripped my arm right out of the socket. So you've got a new book.
I get excited about things, though. I'm not low-key on when I'm able to do good things. I get very, very into it.
You exude a lot of positive energy. But you've written, I want to talk a little bit about your book, and we're going to talk about some of your history as well. It's called Backlund, From All-American Boy to Professional Wrestling's World Champion. And there's a foreword on here. Of course, another name that people know is Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, you know. He was pretty big in the business, yes.
Talk a little bit about how you got into becoming a professional wrestler. And then we're going to talk about what exactly occurs when you were with WWF, right? With World Wrestling Federation, before it was WWE.
That's not where you go at first.
Right. So let's talk. Let's go
you
back.
Start out in the bottom.
Yeah.
And then in my career, I got trained at the 7th Street Gym in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The guy's name was Eddie Sharkey. He wrestled for the AWA. And I decided I was going to get in the business a long time before that, because I went to North Dakota State University, and there was a guy called Superstar Billy Graham. And I was working out at the YMCA because Ron Earhart didn't have a gym in there. So I went to the YMCA in Fargo, North Dakota, and I met him there. And they had a little wrestling card at a civic center in Fargo. And he came over and talked to me, and he said, "Did you ever think about getting the wrestling business?" And I said, "No." And then after that I went to a training thing for the Chicago football team, and I realized that people had been there in this training program for 10 years to get ahead, and they're still there. On my way home that night, I was in Illinois, and way home back to Minnesota, I said to myself, "I'm going to go to the wrestling business. I'm not going to hang around there for 10 years."
And then Bill Graham then became an evangelist, right?
Yeah. He became a champ in the business. And you know what, though? I met him there. But the true thing is, that was in 71. In 1978, I'm standing in Madison Square Garden, and I'm looking at across at the guy that I'm taking on. He's got the belt around his waist. He's got great big muscles. It's Superstar Billy Graham.
Look at that.
And this guy...
he remembered you.
He remembered me, but he tried to talk Vince out of putting the belt on me. And in 71, he was trying to encourage me to get into business.
When did the WWF start?
It started back in the 50, or late 50s, early, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
In Superstar Bill Graham, he was a guy. He was an in-between guy. Vince
what
Sr.
does that mean?
He was an in-between. He took the belt from, Bruno Sammartino, uh-huh, the greatest wrestler ever. and then I took it from him.
And you held it for 6 years.
I held it for 6 years.
What were those years that you held the belt?
1978 to 83 at Christmas time.
In 83, after you lose the belt, what happens to your career? Where do you go?
Well, I stay in the wrestling business, and I stayed there for a little while. But that was when the crash happened to the business. Vince Sr. passed away. The business has turned over to Vince Jr.,
mm-hmm.
and it was a completely different ballgame. Vince Sr., I trusted him as much as I trusted my dad.
Wow.
Everything he said to me, he did. He never let down on that. And he always thought about how his people could affect society. And he was looking for an All-American boy to replace Bruno Sammartino. Uh-huh. And I did something in one night in Atlanta, Georgia. I wrestled Jack Briscoe. And then there was another couple other wrestlers. They wanted me to go in the car with them. We were driving around a bypass. Uh-huh. And they started smoking marijuana. And I'm sitting in the back seat. Jack Briscoe's driving the car. I thought about putting him in the cross-faced chicken wing and squeeze him, but I thought that might not be a good idea. But I did ask to stop the car. I want to get – oh, no, first that. I roll my window down, and they roll it back up. Oh, they wanted me to be in their clique.
Yeah.
And I had something happen to me when I was 15 years old that made me realize that wasn't a good decision. And I said, I don't mind if you guys do want to do marijuana, and I'm not going to do it. Mm. And they always say if you do good things, you're going to get a reward.
Well, you were focused on your career.
I was there was more than that in that business. You were in when you were doing a dope with the wrestlers.
So were there a lot of people talk about steroid use. Was that prevalent? Was that rampant all throughout the WWF in those days?
Pretty much, yeah. And then, you know what? See, I learned some big lessons when I was 15 years old. Big lessons. I made every mistake or every bad decision that a person could possibly make in his life. And my life was down in the gutter. I was always the worst wrestler, the worst kid in school. I was always on the bottom whenever I did anything. And I had a little something that sparked me one time when I was 15 years old. I got on the wrestling team by luck, and I got beat right away in the tournament. So I stayed in it. It was a district tournament, and I went to the state tournament. I saw a guy named Kirk Anderson win the 165-pound weight class, and I was wrestling 154 that year. And he won the tournament. I found out he was my age, and I said to myself on the way home that if he can do it, why can't I?
That's right.
When I got home, I got 2 5-gallon pails. I filled them up with cement, and I put a pipe in between. Now, that's going to be my new machine to get ahead. And you know what? The next year, 1 year later, my hero comes to Princeton, Minnesota to wrestle in a tournament. And they were in the seating room, and his coach says, is there anybody here that you think could give Kirk Anderson a little bit of a tussle? My coach stood up and said, Bob Backlund's undefeated right now, and maybe he could do that. They moved him up because I was wrestling 175 now.
Oh.
And they moved him up to 175 pounds. I should have grabbed my mom's keys and got out of Dodge when I found out that I was wrestling my hero, the guy that pushed me to work harder. Oh. And you know what? I beat him 1 year later. My hero. I beat him. I learned that on the way home, I learned that hard work paid off. Hard work does pay off, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what. And I never got a big reward. Never got a big reward. Nothing ever happened because I was on the bottom. You still have to prove yourself. You still have to pay the price. You still have to go one at a time. You know what? I usually climbed every gate or every bridge or every mountain that I had to climb. I learned 6 things from high school wrestling that made me successful in life. And I used them in my life continuously. And even when I got in the wrestling business, everybody was doing this and drug that drug, partying that night, and I never went there. They wanted me to come. I said, what you're doing doesn't work. I did that same thing when I was 15 years old, and I was in the gutter. It don't work, and it's not going to do you any good. They hated me for telling them that. But you know what? I knew I was right. Because today, most of those guys are either dead, broke, or sick. And I don't have any either one of those things. I love the world. I have fun every day. I want to be positive. I want to send out a good message. I'm not sitting there pouting about something. Fix it right away and get on to the next challenge. You can do it if I can do it.
Wow. So basically, persevere. I mean, really, don't give up on your dreams.
I call it never capitulate.
That's right.
And I had to look that up in the dictionary a long time ago. I was not a great student. And that's one of my biggest regrets. I learned how to be successful, but I didn't apply it to my academic world. And I still pay a price, kids. I wished I would have worked out in the classroom as hard as I worked out in the wrestling room.
So there's a great lesson to be learned from you. Right?
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
I want to send a good message out there that will work. That will work. And that you can do very easily. But you can't think it's going to happen overnight.
I want to go back to your story. And that is, what caused you to live, to move to Connecticut?
Connecticut, Vince Sr. found, and he thought, you know, okay, let's get back to where I was in the car with those guys and they smoking marijuana. That got around that I wouldn't do it with them like wildfire in the wrestling business. And every promoter knew that I did that. And then about 6 years later, Vince McMahon Sr. is looking for an all-American boy to replace Bruno Sammartino.
Right, right.
And you know what? He called all those promoters in the NWA, and every one of them said the same name. Because they knew that Vince Sr. was a man that wanted to send a good message to society. And he thought, with me in the right spot, could send out hope to people.
When you had the belt and you were sitting on top of the world, how did that change your life as a person? Not necessarily as an entertainer, as a wrestler, as an athlete. How does that kind of success, that celebrity, the money, how does that all affect you, Bob, as a person?
That doesn't affect me at all. I still, when I got done with the matches that night, I drove home, got home about 2 o'clock in the morning, and woke my daughter up and played with her in the snow. I want her to know that she has a dad, and he's going to be behind her 100% for the rest of her life.
Is it hard to juggle your personal life and your career?
Well,
especially in the
spotlight. To me, the family is the most important unit on the face of this earth.
Amen.
And I believe that comes first.
Yeah.
And I had a thing with Vince Jr., he wanted me to do something with Hulk Hogan and turn into a bad guy. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I have a daughter. She's going to start school next year, and she will have problems if her dad's a bad guy at school, and I'm not going to do that to her.
Bob, that means turning down a lot of money.
It gets better. I tell him that, and he turned and said, well, what about the money? I said, my daughter's more important than the money, and I'm out of here.
Wow. So you walked away from it.
Yes.
What did you do with your career after that?
I had a oil business.
Okay.
Home heating oil.
Did you?
Delivered to people.
Yourself. It's like, oh, my goodness, I'm getting my oil delivered to me by the famous Bob Backlund.
I was the only one in the business. I didn't hire anybody.
Is that right?
I answered the calls at night and delivered Doyle in the morning. I can't stand to be sitting around doing nothing.
But you must have made money off your name because you're still Bob Backlund.
It's not make any difference how much you make. It's how much you save.
Ah.
That million dollar number doesn't mean anything if you spent it all. And that's another message that I like to say, don't live above your means.
But you never went to any of the like the reunions or the autograph sessions and like with Lou Albano or with Andre the Giant.
I do autograph sessions.
Yeah.
I do autograph sessions. But you know what? In my book, one of the wrestlers said, we should have followed Bob Backlund's way.
Yeah, that must make you feel.
I don't have to say it.
But after your career was over, that's when WrestleMania, you see the rise of Hulk Hogan and all of that. You're like a third generation's wrestlers, and their names are becoming, let's say, more elevated in that era.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and people were wondering what happened to Bob Backlund.
That's easy to explain. And people do what they have to do.
But, of course.
I don't count in Vince McMahon Jr.'s history.
You don't have a relationship
because
with him.
Because he can't control me.
Well, is he looking to control you? Does he control? He controls all of this.
I said no.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's true.
I said no. And he doesn't. He didn't like that. And I said it for my family, and I would do it over again anytime.
You also ran unsuccessfully for a seat in Congress, right, as a Republican candidate for Congress. What got you into politics, and what was your campaign like?
Well, I just think that politicians are really iffy.
You know, you think?
Yeah. I shouldn't say I know. You know, I know, but you can't trust them.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You're absolutely. We hear this all the time. Yeah.
And but you know what? I didn't win the election, but you know, it's got to be affected by the people.
Yeah.
By the people got to get together if they want to have that what's going on get fixed, everybody's going to have to stand together and be able to tell them, hey, you guys are going crazy here. And we're in the voting, you know, just, you know, it's going to be everlasting unless we send a message to Washington.
So you write this book with Rob Miller. It's got to be very, very cathartic for you as you reflect back on your life and the lessons that you learn, but also that others reading this book can also learn through you. Correct.
I got a letter. Just fit this right away. But I got a guy that sent me a letter, an email, and he was telling me about how I was his childhood hero, and he was telling me about he got a call from out in somebody out in California, and he lives in Pennsylvania, and the guy told this Marty that. You got to read this book.
Well, yeah, I want to go to that because I'm running out of time. When you were authoring this book and you were reflecting on your life, was it emotional at all for you?
No. But you know what? The book and what I'm doing now, it's the most important thing I ever did because I want to send a good message to the people, the hardworking people of our great country.
I think that this book accomplishes that. And my final question, what are you doing right now? Where's your life right now? Where are you
in
life?
I'm a companion and homemaker.
Is that right? What a
wonderful. I was at home, and I had a lot of time, and I was going crazy. I became a companion and homemaker, and I help people have a better life in their homes. Tonight I'll go to meet Joseph at 6 o'clock at night, and I'll be with him till 9, and then he'll be sleeping.
That's nice. So if there's anything that we've learned from you, is that you're a giving, you're a caring and compassionate person, that you've always have been, and you have a conscience, and you let your conscience guide you all through life. A lot can be learned by reading this book. It's called Backlund. From All-American Boy to Professional Wrestling's World Champion. It's authored by world-renowned, famous, the one and only Bob Backlund. Where can people purchase this book? Is this
Well, they can people can purchase it from me personally. And I always have them with me. I'm actually, on this coming Monday, I'm doing a book signing in the library in Colchester, Connecticut.
Wow. And can this be bought at, like, Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com?
I don't know. But you know what?
They can
buy it from me if they go on BobBacklandNow.com.
Oh, well, then that's
easy.
They can order
it from me.
BobBacklandNow.com. That you head to that website and pick this book up. It's, in fact, you may even want to buy one for if you have a child or a niece or a nephew. There's so much more other than wrestling that you can take from this read. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Bob Backlund. We wish you the best. Stay in touch and good luck on the book.
Yeah, no, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Rob Miller actually wrote the book. I had a book written in '85 and I couldn't get it published. Rob Miller sent me an email saying that I was his childhood hero, and he wanted to write a book about me.
That's
how cool is that?
That's moving. It's Brad Davis and Gary Byron. We will be right back.